Infamous Indy presents the Digging Up Dillinger Project, featuring the Texas Crime Travelers and Travis Thompson. I'm your host, Joe Melillo. In the annals of American crime, few figures loom as large as John Dillinger. A mastermind of bank heists, his name became synonymous with brazen robberies and daring escapes. Questions on whether he escaped an FBI ambush and the whereabouts of his buried loot persevere. History offers one account, but there are whispers that tell us many more. Join us as we go digging up Dillinger. Hey everybody, welcome to Digging Up Dillinger. I'm your host, Joe Melillo, Stuart Fillmore, Todd Hiles, Travis Thompson. We're all here again. Thanks for listening. Guys, what's up? Happy Father's
Day. Hey. Yeah, hey. I can't believe it. Another Father's Day down. In the books, so to speak.
Yep, Hello, everybody. And we're here doing our regular recording. You know, last week we finished the Fillmore report, the last section of that Fillmore report. So we hope you guys really enjoyed it. Remember to like, share, comment, and subscribe. I would say we got to introduce our guest because he's officially our first guest on the podcast.
Yes.
And the project. Yep. And he's a huge member of our passion crew, our Digging Up Dillinger gang of 2024 is Paul Lima. What's up, Paul?
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me.
Oh, man. Hey. We're happy to have you, Paul.
Definitely.
Paul runs his own production company in LA and was in charge of developing the project that brought Travis, Stewart, and all of us together. Yep. That was originally going to be on a major network television show. On TV. So Paul, dude, thanks for coming. We know our listeners are going to love this because you have the inside scoop to Hollywood. You have, you know, the answers to a lot of the questions we have, like why the hell aren't we already dug them up already? Like why? we just want to dig them up. And you were the lead of the project. We talked on the phone a couple times in the last couple weeks. And like, you know, you have as much passion as we do about this. We really want to dig them up. We think the mystery is solvable. It's 90 years old. It's time to get it done. And I feel like you feel the same way. So, dude, awesome to have you.
Thank you so much. I can tell you, I've never wanted to dig up a body so bad. It sounds really weird when you say it. But like, gosh, I want to dig up that body. I've thought about just doing it.
I agree.
Like, yeah. How much time would we do in jail if we just showed up and just started digging?
Yeah.
With some shovels. Like, how much time?
The shovels would probably delay, but it could be worth it because we would likely be breaking one of the largest mysteries in history. Of all time. That's never.
I agree.
Definitely. Yep.
Agreed.
So let's talk about where you and Travis and Travis's dad, Mike, met. How did this all come about?
Yeah. So when I was doing development for television, I was looking at old bank robbers and came across Dillinger as someone who we haven't seen a lot of. And so in doing a little research, found a newspaper article on Mike and Travis. I reached out and introduced myself and said, look, I don't have, you know, a lot of times when we reach out, usually we have a very specific idea of what we're looking for. In this case, it was just to say, I'm just calling to see if there's anything here that could be worth telling, you know, a story. And is there anything that you guys have, like a diary or something that could be good as an entry point? And I think, you know, we brought up the fact that they had been waiting on these Dillinger files. It was the one thing that I don't think they had them yet when I first reached out, but it was something that years ago they had requested.
Yeah, and Travis said no, as if you didn't have them. So
no, I did not have them at the time.
Yeah, exactly. You didn't have them yet. But that first call, it was really just to like see what was there. And they had like a book, a book of like names and addresses. And, you know, they had pictures, they had a Tommy gun belonging to him, which was all cool. But you know, the files was something that I was really interested in. And I would say, you know, I don't remember how long afterwards, you know, Travis called me and he says, you're not going to believe this. Like I've been waiting for this for years and I've got these files. And so that's really when, I felt it was really important to bring in someone like Stewart, you know, did some research to see who was out there that, you know, would be interested in doing some research with us. We felt like these files could be really interesting. And so that's what led me to Stewart as soon as I met him.
Did you just put an ad out in the retired FBI agent, you know, Craigslist and like just say, hey,
you don't know how accurate that is.
Yeah, actually more like pounding the pavement and just reaching out, you know, going on the FBI list and seeing like who's recently retired, you know, who's like retired 50 years ago, but someone who's recently retired, who can kind of break down the language of the FBI files. Cause as soon as you see the FBI files, it's like, I know it's in English, but it doesn't necessarily feel like you're reading English all the time. You know, there's, you know, shorthand you know, we knew that if the crux of what we were going to do was based on the files, we knew that we wanted a bona fide former agent. Too difficult to work with someone who's currently in the FBI. And you know, I would say we interviewed probably 30 plus people. And as soon as we met Stewart, we felt like, you know, this is someone who is not only knowledgeable, but someone who we want to work with, someone who we know is going to take it seriously.
Did you know that he had the copy of the file himself that he'd been looking at for years?
Well, Todd, I didn't have it at this point.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But just a quick funny story about this, how this came about. So I actually, when you say, Joe, the retired agents Craigslist, it's basically there's a retired FBI agents association. And they have a monthly newsletter. I checked. Frankly, I don't usually read it very often, but this one particular
month. Thank God you did, dude.
Yeah, this one particular month, I opened it up, and they had a little notice that an LA-based producer was looking for a recently retired agent to be part of a, you know, potential TV show. And that was all it said, actually. I've been kind of a ham my whole life, and I've done some civic theater. So, and I had actually done a couple of local commercials. So, you know, I wasn't apprehensive about being on TV. So I just thought, hey, I'm retired. I can do these kind of things now. It just seemed like a cool challenge. So, Paul had provided his email. I reached out to him and just said, you know, hey, I'd be interested. You know, I didn't know what it was about. So Paul called me and we had a phone conversation, and he started telling me what the project was. And he said, I don't know if you've ever heard about him or not, but this is about John Dillinger. And I'm like, well, you know, actually I kind of have heard of him, and I knew a lot of the stuff just right off the top of my head because over the years, it goes in waves, but there are times when I'll get onto this and I obsess. So, I knew the Dillinger story right then and there. And so, you know, I was really lucky to get involved in it because despite some of the things that we've outlined here that have been a challenge on this thing, it has been an absolute blast for me. So, it was really just a cool thing of how we kind of all came together.
Yeah, challenges didn't stop with just us here, but Paul, you had some challenges too. Anyway, so you get in touch with Stewart, you got Travis, the FBI files are coming, and you think, hey, I got something here. This is something that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, so the interesting, like what we were going for initially, and this is what makes my job, in my opinion, the best job in the world, is that you really never know where it's going to take you. And initially the thought was, we're going to use the FBI files to track where Dillinger was so that we could try to find, there were rumors that there was money that was missing. Dillinger, you know, when he was killed, there was all this money that was allegedly buried somewhere. And there were rumors, but no one had ever really looked for it. And so the original thought was, can we use the FBI files as a map to go and bring in ground penetrating radar and dogs who sniff money, whatever we can, to see if we can find money? And so initially we, you know, part of how we sell things is, you know, we shoot what's called a proof of concept tape. So we, the production company, will deficit finance a small tape that we can edit down so that when we take it out to our network buyers, they get it. They understand what the conceit of the show is and who the main people are that we're going to be following, the faces of the show. And so, you know, in talking, you know, with Stuart, Mike, and Travis, we decided we can get, you know, we looked at a couple places. One location that we were looking at was the hotel. What was that place? Couldn't get it. What was it called?
Little Bohemia.
Yeah,
Little Bohemia. Yeah, we were trying to get access to Little Bohemia first because we knew he was there. We knew that there was a big shootout. He had to run quick. Little Bohemia had told us that they had found a gun in the wall already. So that immediately made us feel like that's the location that we should search. And for reasons that I don't remember, it didn't work out. I think, you know, we couldn't get the landowners on board with what we were planning on doing. And so our backup location was the home where Dillinger lived. Now, we couldn't get access to the home itself,
right,
but we could get access to the land behind it, this massive property. So we communicated with that landowner, very nice guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we told him what we were looking to do. You know, we want to come to your property, bring in ground penetrating radar, and let's just see what we can find. And so that's what we did. You know, we did a 2-day shoot and brought some ground penetrating radar. And with this kind of stuff, you never really, I mean, the truth is you never really think you're going to find anything. You really just think that, you know, it's more about, you know, these proof of concepts aren't like designed for these, oh my gosh, moments. It's really just designed to like tell the story, get the
network. Yeah, you're going out there to get some sales roll. You
that's
know,
it, just, right? Just the goal is not like we. I personally never thought anything was going to be found here. You know what I mean? But like sometimes you get really lucky in television, and we brought in ground penetrating radar. We were out on that property all day, got a bunch of pings. Most of them were bunk, a lot of pipes and nails and bottle caps, and and I'll never forget. You know, Stuart starts digging in one of these spots, and all of a sudden he's like, I feel like I just hit glass. And as he starts digging more, he pulls out this, you know, this monster bottle that had this map in it, you know, and it's funny because
what did it have on? What did it
not
have
a map? Sorry. Yeah,
It was a shell.
No, it's a shell map, right?
Yeah. I was just repeating because I can't believe I still to this day like it's the most crazy thing.
I had a shell map, and this is really funny because in television, you know, the thing that I'm always trying to combat is people thinking that what they see is fake.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
And so obvious, and you know, as soon as we started telling our buyers, like, you're not going to believe this. Yeah. I mean, the first thing out of their mouth was like, I was like, listen, here's the thing. Not only was it shot in full, like we never stopped shooting.
Right.
But like, to me, the biggest indicator is that, you know, the landowner,
yep.
Will you guys remind me his name?
Shane. My cousin Shane.
Yeah. So Shane, he was kind of like, he was off camera, kind of sitting. He had like pulled out like one of those chairs that you kind of watch a football game on. He kind of sitting on this chair, just kind of like spectating behind the scenes. And as soon as this happened, this guy runs out of this chair and his eyes are like, he's like, what? Oh my God. I mean, I cannot believe it. He's like, I've mowed over this area 1,000 times.
Yep.
And we found a map in a very old jar. And the map was from this time period when Dillinger was doing his
shell map. Yep.
And it's got pencil and writing and it's kind of exactly what we were looking for, right?
Yeah.
It's like it's got all these points and these dots. And so the thought was like, oh my gosh, we just found the map to hunt down all of this money, right?
Because just to elaborate real quick, you know, it did have this, I always use maybe in air quotes, a route on it because, you know, it had these lines drawn between cities. But these lines didn't necessarily follow any roads, and there were dates besides some of the cities, and it didn't necessarily make any sense as a route, as if you were, you know, you were going to go from, I don't know, Omaha to Chicago. It just didn't make sense in that regard. So again, you know, talking about the FBI files and this missing loot and, you know, all that is documented in the files. So we know that there is missing money out there. And now we seem to have this map that was, it's still mysterious to this day. We still really don't know what this route was. You know, is it a code? Is it, you know, is it, does it lead to something? Is it a treasure map? It was buried for a reason. And you know, it was too good to be true, really, is a good way to describe it, because it was exactly as Paul had conceived it. And then literally right there, we found, you know, maybe the key to the whole damn thing. It was just incredible. I mean, you know, the camera guys, everyone was, the excitement was unbelievable.
It
was,
Travis starts crying. That's another way you know it's not fake.
Oh yeah, right afterwards. I started thinking about grandma and just everything like hit me at once. It's about kind of putting my hand in the ground and touching something that maybe my great uncle put in the ground. Like, it was literally like reaching back in time and touching my family member.
Yeah, breathe in the air that from that jar. Oh, yeah. And you could have, exactly. And being,
I had to keep myself from diving into the hole. You know, we're down, me and Stuart on our knees, and we're like, we got to get an evidence bag. Good thing we had one, and I take off running back and grab it and come back. And so we start working into the crime scene, pulling pieces out. It was extremely exciting, a lot of emotion. One is exciting that we found it, two, that we're excited that we found something that no one ever has seen.
Exactly.
No one knew this was even there.
Yeah.
And that was a big deal, and it still is.
Yes. Yeah, that's really great. And I mean, what a sizzle reel for you. Just absolute, just you think gold. So you went back and you start telling them, and they're like, yeah, right. Okay. But it obviously continues, because this is just kind of the start. So
yeah. So here's what happened. So we start putting this reel together, and keep in mind, we had just gotten this file, and it's a massive file.
Massive.
And Stuart, doing what Stuart does, you know, he's like, we basically gave it to Stuart, and we're like, translate, please. And at a certain point, you know, I get this call from Stuart, and he's like, I have to tell you something else. Like, I know that our goal is to go after that money, but this file, like, Dillinger supposedly died at the Chicago Theater on a certain day, but the FBI file goes well beyond that, right? Where they're, it looks like they're looking for Dillinger. They're following leads after he was shot.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to Stuart about the fact that, like, why would you ever do that? Why would you ever spend taxpayer dollars hunting down someone?
A dead guy?
Dead, right? Just didn't make sense to us.
Right.
Unless he didn't die.
Right.
Unless there was something up. And so it was at that point that the focus went from being a treasure hunting show to, can we find more information on Dillinger, his death? Let's change this to the hypothesis of, what if it was not Dillinger? And now let's look at all the evidence around that.
Right.
And when we started doing that, that's when everything changed.
Was that your decision, or could you do both? Like, in my mind, let's do both.
You really have to, like, you know, when you're working on a television show, you really have to have a very clear thesis. You know what I mean? If it's, you know, it's like a hybrid treasure hunt slash manhunt,
right?
Kind of changes, you know, it would feel like, you know, we wanted to be very specific, and not to say that the money wasn't something that would be interesting still, but for us, this idea that he, like, what if Dillinger set this whole thing up?
Yeah.
And what if it wasn't him? Well, let's assume at some point he probably went back and got that money. So the money probably, if he's dead, okay, sure.
Sure.
But now if we're operating under the thesis of, like, what if he set that whole thing up? Then we have to assume he would have gone back for the cash.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so as soon as we started looking at the evidence, it was huge. The evidence that pointed to the fact that we don't know. And actually, evidence shows that it was not Dillinger who was shot in Chicago that night.
Yeah.
You know, in the coroner report, the FBI coroner report, that was very telling, because you know, we know that Dillinger had gray blue eyes, but the corpse had brown eyes.
Absolutely.
Right? We had learned that eye color doesn't change after death, right? Yes. That's the question. Like, it gets a little cloudy, but that doesn't change. And scars.
If our viewers are well versed, because we hit all of these, including so that evidence, you guys started compiling, but like you, Paul, you were like, okay, we need to start finding evidence around it. And so obviously you said, hey, Stuart, you know, do your thing. And then in addition to that, what other routes you start? So you just start kind of attacking the case and the show from that perspective. Like, you find this evidence with the coroner's report. What else were you like looking at? What else goes through your mind? Like, oh, we need to go after this piece of evidence.
Yeah. I mean, at this point it was, we needed to collect as much data as possible, because
that makes sense.
The thought was, there was, you know, we always use television, like past television, as like what's possible, what's palatable to an audience. You know, History Channel had just recently done something called American Ripper, that was kind of, you know, questioning whether Jack the Ripper was actually an American doctor.
Right. H.H. Holmes.
Right. And that all ended.
First serial killer. Another Indiana connection.
Correct. And that all ended with an exhumation. And so our thought was, well, television's done this before. We could, you know, this is, a lot of times you have a theory and there's no way to prove it, right? But in this case, we could prove it, right? Dillinger is buried allegedly in Indiana. We could, with technology, exhume that body, DNA test it against the living relatives, and determine, kind of close the mystery, determine once and for all, is it him or not? Close this mystery.
Yep.
And so knowing that that was a possibility, we decided to gather as much evidence as possible, because if we're going to ask not just Mike and Travis, but if we're going to ask any other family members, if we're going to ask the state, if we're going to disturb the dead, we wanted as much reason to do so as possible. And so it wasn't just about the eyes, right? If it was just the eye color is different, to me, that wouldn't have been enough, right?
Yep.
It was the fact that scars that were known to have been there are all of a sudden not there, and a missing tooth isn't noted. And you know, the guy who's dead had rheumatic heart disease, right? A degenerative heart condition that was in a very advanced stage. He was going to die.
Right.
Right. And that also went against what we know about Dillinger, was like, he's athletic. You see him jumping over, you know, bank booths, right?
And
he's
he's
jumping out of windows and race, you know, running away and getting away from cops. And so there was a lot just when you compared the two bodies. The ear shape was different, right? Yep. And we're told by a doctor that, like, that doesn't happen post-mortem, right? The ears and the eyes aren't going to change. And so body to body, it doesn't look like Dillinger. And even when you put their faces next to each other, it doesn't look like Dillinger. And then you take the Feeney letter, you know, which I don't know if you guys covered that in one of your past ones.
Last episode. Like,
okay, so that's really interesting.
The fingerprints
don't match, right? The number one thing that the FBI is known for, right, as far as like identification, is fingerprints. And in this case, the fingerprints don't match.
Yeah.
There's a photo that we find of Dillinger from the 50s that looks just like him. Someone who had written to an author saying, you know, basically saying, I'm still alive. You have this map that all of a sudden has so much more context to it.
Exactly.
When you think about the fact that, like, probably faked his death. You got this address book. You got this letter from John. There's so much there. And the fact that the FBI continues to look for him in the FBI files, that we felt there's an overabundance. If this was the Dillinger case today, we believe the FBI would just exhume the body and determine it for themselves.
Absolutely. Right? Because I believe in legal speak or law enforcement terms, we have there's probable cause to believe, to at least, do this to determine the identity of the person killed. I think it's overwhelming.
Great. So definitely. Easy money. Just go to court real quick, right?
it wasn't about going to court. You know, at that point, it was like, we have enough information to physically do this. So
yes,
we hire an attorney. You know, I'm a California-based company, so my attorney is based in California. We hire an attorney that's local, that knows all state laws. We determine, how do we get permission, right? Dillinger has all kinds of relatives, you know, distant cousins and nephews, and there's a lot of people. Are we going to have to physically get permission from every single person? How does it work? Who do we need permission from? What do we need to do on a state level? And so we gather all that information, and it turns out that we only need permission from two families, the closest living relatives. We need permission from Mike and Travis, and we need permission from this other side of the family, and we need permission from the cemetery, and we need approval from the state. And we do all of that. We get all of our ducks in order, and it all, you know, we get all the permissions. We gather DNA from the side of the, you know, we learn that the DNA would only work through one of the females of this other family that has a different last name. It's not Thompson. And so we work with that family, we gather the DNA. And so we work with the University of Indianapolis as who's going to take hold of the body, right? We're going to do the exhumation. We're going to deliver the body to them. They're going to pull the DNA. We had worked with a university in Austin who had the capacity to then take that DNA and physically do the tests.
This would have been,
monster.
Yeah.
Months and months.
I mean, just imagine the helicopters from the press of like, you know, oh, John Dillinger's body's in a hearse going IUI downtown to do an autopsy. Like, that's insane. Well, like, the police escort of Dillinger's
body. Yeah. Hey, there was people reaching out to Crown Hill once this, like, broke the news, asking if they were going to sell tickets, if they were going to set up seating to watch – to sell tickets to watch the body come out of the ground. Like, people were calling from all over the world.
I bet those would be Taylor Swift tickets right now. depends on how many seats you have. That's unbelievable, Paul. So, man, you guys really, I mean, obviously thought it out. You're obviously good at your job. This is clearly a testament to what you were thinking, or how your mind works, or putting a good show together and seeing what people, and you're right, because it is really interesting. So you had everything kind of lined up and then it kept keep going. I don't mean to interrupt so much.
Sure. No. So unfortunately it went public. And whenever we're doing television, we always try to not allow things to go public. In this case, it went public because we needed a requirement, we needed the state's approval. The state signed off on it, which went to the clerk's office, and someone there tipped off the press. And all of a sudden, this makes the news that we're doing this. And that's a shame, because people came out of the woodwork opposing it.
Yep.
You know, family members who were more distant opposing this. And then it got really, really weird. Because the family opposing it wouldn't have really changed anything. Because like I said, we had already done our due diligence and learned the families that needed to get involved, and they did get involved. What changed is when it became public, we heard that the FBI went to the cemetery.
Yep.
There was a meeting that took place. And all of a sudden, the cemetery, who was very much for it, I had met with the president of the cemetery. We had formed a relationship and we had gone back and forth. They were 100% on board at, you know, ready to get to the truth of this. All of a sudden, the cemetery no longer wants to do this. Well, we were all good. And all of a sudden, after a visit from the FBI, it's no longer good. And also, you know, we had been everyone that we're talking to, we're having to get contracts and agreements with them because none of this is done on a handshake. So, you know, we had been working with not just the president of the cemetery, but also their attorneys. And all of a sudden, their attorneys are replaced by these massive former Department of Justice attorneys, right?
True.
And so for us, it was like, what's going on? Like, this is something, this is a closed case, right? This is something that, like, why does the FBI even care? Like, why would they even make a visit? And why all of a sudden the heavy-handedness with their attorneys?
Yep.
And so that tells me they're, you know, what other explanation other than they don't want us to dig?
Exactly.
And to me, they would only not want us to dig if there's something that we're going to find. And so for us, you know, for me personally, it galvanized me in feeling like, sure. Oh my gosh, like either he's not there.
Yep.
Like there's nobody in there and it's just an empty casket.
Right.
Or it's the wrong person. And either way, it's going to be huge. And when you really think about, well, what would that do to the FBI? This was one of their first big cases. And if they lied about this, it would certainly make us wonder what else they've lied about.
Exactly.
And so to me, it was a sign that we were on the right track. And it felt like all of a sudden, what was a fast moving train quickly came to a halt.
Yep.
Yeah, I can remember, Paul, around that time, the FBI started tweeting like about the Dillinger case, that they had got their man 100% by fingerprints, and they're discrediting our efforts to do this. And then remember, the media had reached out to the Chicago field office, and they said they don't comment on an ongoing investigation, which I thought was weird.
Yeah, so the Dillinger case is still ongoing.
Yeah.
Maybe they meant ongoing, like with the case, because it wasn't going to court to dig his body.
Very possible. That's probably likely. Yeah.
Yeah. Although it's fun to think that they're like admitting that that's ongoing. How disappointed were you, Paul? How disappointed are you?
Yeah, crushed. I mean, look, I believe with every fiber in my soul that it's not John Dillinger. That John Dillinger outsmarted the FBI and got away with it. And I think that's a huge embarrassment to them. And I think the most frustrating thing is we can prove it right now. Forget what happened before.
Right.
Right now.
Right.
The Dillinger grave is right there in Indianapolis. It's there.
Right. And solve the whole thing.
We can solve the whole thing.
Solve the whole thing right now.
And how many other times? Now, tell me one other time where we can physically get an answer to a major mystery of history, right?
Yep.
It's so rare, right? We just don't know. We think that there are aliens out there, but like, gosh, it's always like the videos like this, and, you know? Like, we don't have like, hey, here's an alien, right?
Yeah. In this age, here's his body.
Right. Yeah.
No one's done that. We've all seen the videos. We've seen all the government stuff. But like, we can't prove that aliens are actually living among us yet. But we absolutely can prove and solve the mystery of, was Dillinger killed that night in Chicago or not? Right. We can absolutely solve it. And it's really frustrating that for someone to stand in the way of that, not for religious reasons, not for anything else, other than to cover something up. That's very frustrating.
Yes.
Yep. Absolutely.
Someone's standing in our way. It doesn't make sense that a government entity would care. It's not going to cost them any money. We were going to pay for the whole thing.
Exactly.
So it wouldn't cost anyone a dime.
Yep.
Right. And it's a real shame that powers that were above us stepped in and basically put the kibosh on all of it.
Yep.
It was crushing is a good word, Paul. It really was because, you know, we had put so much into this, and it was we had a genuine search for the truth, you know, going on. And that's really what we wanted. You know, is it cool to make a TV show? Yes, it is. Can someone make the argument, oh, you're just doing it for sensationalism? Well, by the very nature of how the business works, there has to be a certain amount of sensationalism for something to sell or for people to be interested. This has to be paid for in a way, you know, is in some way. So the way that is that you have a TV show and you make money from that TV show. But really behind it all was a genuine search for the truth. That's all we were trying to get to. And it was crushing that, something that to me just seemed so simple and just such a quick definitive answer could be obtained. And it just became way more complicated than it had to be.
What about your relationship with the president of Crown Hill? I mean, was there any communication once the big guns came in?
No, he said, I can't talk to you anymore. There was like no inciting incident, right? Everything was fine. You know, it's not as if like something was said and all of a sudden, he's upset with us. It was just something had clearly happened that changed his mind, put him in some sort of fear.
Yep.
And he no longer wanted anything to do with this.
And your word
made it clear that if we were going to do it, we had to do it around him. We had to work around him. He was no longer going to work with us. The cemetery was now going to take an adversarial position and help to do everything in their power to keep this from happening. And that was night and day. It was very different. And nothing had happened from our end or in our conversations that would make sense for something like that to have happened.
Right.
Because they are very open. They're talking to me, my father. I mean, our family members are buried in their cemetery. I was stopping by. I was talking to them. I had started getting a pretty good friendly relationship with them. Once the FBI showed up, I was told I could no longer come back. And actually, other than I could visit my loved ones, but I could not come in the office. I could not talk to any of their staff, that I needed to, keep my distance from them. So that was very odd because they were very talkative, because they didn't even have a copy of the deed, which my father had the original deed to that plot. And, they're wanting to know if they could get a copy of it for the records. And, we were going to do so, but then they stopped working with us and we've never been able to talk to them since.
Yeah. Very, very frustrating.
Well, let's keep going down that road. Let's not keep so negative though, because in the end, the truth should come out. I mean, this is kind of where our head is at, and this is why, Paul, to have you on the show and explain your perspective on this is just awesome. What did you have to do then for the network that you were working with? Did you have to do something? Like, did you say, "Oh, we're done," and they were done, we're pulling the plug, and they were like, "Oh, like darn," or what was the reaction to the network?
Yeah, I mean, a network is never going to want to be a part of anything that is in a legal position, right? Any kind of legal situation will pretty much kill a show right away.
Yeah.
And so it's the, what any network is going to want to know when we bring a show and any kind of an idea is that we have it locked up, right? We've got all the permissions. We have a path to physically do it. That's part of what we need to deliver on the front end to make them feel comfortable even considering it, because they're wise with their expenditures. And so, as soon as it went from we have everyone on board to now we're being sued and, people are coming out of the woodwork saying that they don't want us to do this, that pretty much killed it. That pretty much made it all go away. There's no faster way to make a TV show go away than, to start a lawsuit like that. And so it was really unfortunate because we were so close. We were months away.
Yes.
And, you know, I truly believe that if we were ever to get permission, we would find that it's either empty or it's not him. And I think that people deserve to know, what's the harm, honestly, in people finding out the truth?
Exactly. Right? Yes.
And you know, we can do it. We can do it today. And yep. It's a shame to know that there are powers stronger than us that have already shown that if we try to do that, they're going to stand in our way and do everything in their power to stop us. And, you know, there's sure we can find letters and we can find other photos, but nothing is more definitive than digging up that grave.
Exactly.
Testing the bones to see,
yep,
is it Dillinger or not?
That's right.
I just don't see the harm in it. Just don't see the harm.
Well, remember, Paul, we also had, I mean, you had called me, Dad, and Stuart about the state had been contacted by the FBI to have them stop issuing us the permit to even examine the body.
Oh, that, yeah.
So they even went they went the further length, not just stepping in at Crown Hill. They went the further length trying to get the permit stopped.
Yeah.
Right. It was clear that the FBI did not want this to happen. You know, what was cool in that situation is the state basically said they didn't have a right to get them to stop. And so the state was actually really cool. The state gave us a second permit. You know, the state seemed to be all for this. It really did seem like the FBI did not want this coming out. And it really makes you wonder why. You know, I think, you know, this is and remains one of history's greatest mysteries, aside from did Hitler survive? Is Elvis still alive?
Yeah.
And are aliens among us? Did Dillinger fake his death? Five. Right? Yep. Did he fake his death? And did he actually get away with it? And when you look at, you know, like, it's not as if the FBI tracked him down. Right? The woman that he was with, that he had a relationship with, contacted the FBI, most likely on his behalf, and said, we're going to go to the movies tonight, me and John and his girlfriend, Billy, we're going to go to the movies tonight. I'll let you know which movie it is. Right? And he'll be there.
Yep.
Right? So it's like, it was a set.
Yeah, we'll just throw the guy with rheumatic heart disease that kind of looks like him in there because you guess what? You don't have to go get deported. So now it works. It works for everybody. And the FBI is their guy.
Yeah.
But they still deported her.
They still deported her. Yeah, because it wasn't
they didn't hold up her end.
even more troubling behind that story that Paul's telling, he's absolutely accurate that you know, that the woman Anna Sage, you know, called in and said, "Hey, I know where he's going to be, and I'll tell you where is the movie." But a little bit of a backstory to that is Anna Sage was a prostitute who was a girlfriend of a East Chicago, Indiana cop named Martin Zarkovich, who had been protecting Dillinger since Dillinger started his bank robbing spree, which was only really about a year. So, you know, so there are some funky connections here that really, really hint to that there was way more going on than met the eye. You know, and Paul's right. The Bureau did not track him down. It was only because this call that was initiated by Anna Sage, and most likely done at the behest of Zarkovich, the cop that was protecting Dillinger.
Good stuff. As we go along here, we're going to be going into a lot of the details. I mean, just to try to put ourselves in that moment, right? Like, could Zarkovich be getting paid on the back end from all the robberies that are happening, right? You got to think. I mean, there's no real question.
Oh, without a doubt, he was. Yes.
Yeah. Right. So there's just a lot that we don't know because we didn't live there. So unless you got a time machine, you know, Paul, which I kind of expected you to walk in here and be like, "Hey, at this point,
I'd certainly use it. If I had so many uses, I would use it for this.
This would be one. Whether or not Kennedy was shot is another one. Right. I know Stuart would love to go to. We've talked about it.
You just don't need to be a brain. You don't need to be a brain surgeon or a rocket scientist to figure this one out, right? This is one of those. Like, there's so many conspiracies that are out there, and it's like, well, you know,
lizard people on
like
the ground.
Conspiracy theory.
Yeah,
you know, this is one of those things that you just the glove didn't fit. right? It doesn't make sense.
Right, right.
You put the two bodies together, it doesn't match. It right. actually it looks like a totally different body.
What are you hoping happens now? What do you wish that, I mean, we obviously are doing the show and you were excited to come on and share the side of the story that you lived. What do you hope?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say the family name, but there right. is the other side of the
yeah.
family.
Yeah.
If we could get them on board to do this again, I would hope that at some point they would come around and agree to participate in this with us again. And we found, you know, in working with our attorney, we found that there is a way to circumvent the cemetery. And that is, if we want to move the body from one cemetery to another, there's nothing they can do to stop us, right? The cemetery doesn't have the ability. They have the ability of telling us you can't exhume it and put it back in here. And when you're filling out all the forms and you're filing with the state, you have to kind of say like, okay, what's going to happen with the body? You know, so you exhume it, then what's going to happen? And then what's going to happen? You kind of have to lay out every step. And that last step was, and then we're going to put it right back, right? We're going to pay to put it, you know, put all the dirt back in. And so if we change that to, we're going to move it from the current cemetery to another cemetery, then there's nothing that Crown Hill can do about it. And so we actually located another local cemetery that was willing to accept the casket and whatever remains were inside. So we checked that off the list. Now there's Travis and Mike, and they're both on board to do this. And there's this other side of the family that, when all of this happened, they changed their mind. They no longer wanted to participate in this. And so really what would have to happen is if they were to come around and to say, look, let's just close the case once and for all, I would want to exhume Dillinger's casket. I would like that casket to be taken to the University of Indianapolis, where they have skilled individuals who, this is what they do, pull the DNA from there. I would like that DNA tested using modern technology, right? 2024, yep. And yep. where we can physically, once and for all, tell the world, is it John Dillinger in that yep. casket or not?
Yes.
That's it. That's what I want. I'll sleep yep. at night. Right, I haven't slept in years.
It's been 5 years, Paul.
Years, yeah. I have not slept.
You've got a lot more gray hair than last time we saw you.
No doubt, I'm surprised I have any hair at all, any at all. Frustrating.
Yeah, it's frustrating. We're with you 1,000%. We hope yes. the people listening right now, like, are with us too, because essentially, if you have a community strong enough and big enough, really, I mean, that plays a huge factor into it. That people would want to see this. So we're kind of asking our community to be actively outspoken on their feelings. If they feel the same way we do, which we think they will, just like for the same reason you do, it seems so obvious. And for some reason, it just hasn't happened. So we're kind of going after this again. We're sick of waiting, and we're trying to take it into our own hands by bringing it to the masses to let them be the deciding factor. We only got a couple minutes left here. We only got about 2 minutes. So, final thoughts other than, you know, we hope we're going to see you again, maybe. And like, you know, give this podcast like, you know, six to 7 months maybe. And then we'll call you back and we'll just redo everything. I don't know. We don't know where it's going to go, but, you know, we can't thank you enough, Paul. Like, seriously.
No, I mean, I can't thank you guys enough for keeping the interest out there and keeping hope alive. You know, it does take people, someone's got to drive the bus and someone's got to keep putting it out there in order for it to stay alive. And I appreciate you guys doing that. And I hope that this is successful. You know, it's a very clear mission, right? And if we want to get to the bottom of this, we want to know, did Dillinger get away with it? Did he con, was his best escape yet the time that he yep. faked his death and got away with it? It is a huge mystery. I'm yep. dying to know. He seemed like a really smart guy that eluded the FBI for a very long time.
Yes.
And I think if anyone could have done it, it would have been him. And why not get to the bottom of it? Why not tell the truth? You know, it infuriates me that every step of the way there's been a roadblock, and I appreciate you guys continuing the fight, and I hope that it leads to something. I hope that it leads to the exhumation of John Dillinger. It should have happened years ago. I still think it should happen.
Yep.
And anything that I can do to help, I want to, because you know, the truth is 6 feet under.
You never know what we're going to have. Which
Hey, there's a great title right there.
Yeah.
We never know when we need you again. We'll call you back. I mean, you have an open invitation anytime you want to come on to this podcast.
Absolutely.
We're doing.
Yep.
So
thank you.
Paul, thanks a lot. You guys, another successful podcast. We really appreciate y'all joining us, and we're going to keep going here. So like I always say, keep digging. We'll see you next time.
Keep digging.
The Digging Up Dillinger podcast is produced by Joe Melillo and Grace Hiles. Theme music produced by Eddie Bandis. Follow us on TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube. Until next time, keep digging.